everyone. Welcome to Strip Search, the comic strip podcast. I'm Pete Chianca, and I'm here with Dave London. Hello, Dave.
Hey, Pete.
We are back. It is December.
Unbelievably.
It is. And a happy Hanukkah to you.
Thank you very much. And as we all know, the modern Hanukkahs, our cell phones go for 8 days without charging.
That is. I mean, I explained that to my daughter. I said, I'm at 4%. I said, now imagine that lasted 8 days.
Right.
Now you understand Hanukkah. It's enjoying it in the London households, everybody?
Pretty low key, yeah. They haven't set fire to the house, which is nice.
That's so good. As you know, I am half Jewish, the good half.
The top half.
And we do have a menorah, but my wife made me get an electric one because she was convinced I was going to burn the place down.
And do you have to get 8 trees also?
We do, yeah. It takes up a lot of space. But it gives the cats something to play with. Yeah. So anyway, everyone, welcome. Thank you for joining us. We're going to be talking to cartoonist James DeMarco in a little while of the comic strip Small Saves, which is a hockey strip that he does out of his home base, very close to ours here in Massachusetts. But we first wanted to mention that there has been yet another edition of Comic Strip Cartoonist magazine, which they featured us a couple of months ago, and I think they are going to be revisiting us in a future edition. They asked us for a little update on what we're working on, so make sure to check them out. If you go to our website, petpeevescomic.com/podcast, you'll find a link back to them, and you'll be able to take a look at what they've got in store and maybe even order an issue or two. And like I said, they're going to be running a story about our upcoming projects. And we have one. Isn't that right, Dave?
We do. Do you want to tell our listeners?
Oh, sure. What the heck? Right. We are putting together a book. As you may or may not know, Dave and I do a strip called Pet Peeves, about the Peeves family. It's a family of dogs who act like human beings. And it's been going now for almost 3 years.
My gosh. Over 400 strips. We do it 3 days a week, so over 400 strips.
That's right. And we're going to be compiling all of those into a book. And the working title is Pet Peeves. We figured that was appropriate.
Right. We were going to call it the White Album, but
This seemed better. That would have been easier to do the cover.
Right.
If we went that route. And our goal is to have that into your hot little hands by next spring. And we're probably going to be doing a little Kickstarter, so you'll have an opportunity to send us money prior to that and get some fancy little swag to go along with it. So please stay tuned and visit our website for updates on that. But in the meantime, prepare to meet James DeMarco right after this short break. Okay, welcome back to Strip Search, the comic strip podcast. And I am Pete Chianca here with Dave London and with our special guest this week. We're really excited to have James DeMarco. Welcome, James.
Hi, thank you for having me.
James is the creator of Small Saves, which is a comic strip about a little goalie who I think anyone who has ever played youth hockey, or really any youth sport, will appreciate his adventures. So let's get this right out of the way. James, what's your hockey pedigree? Do you play? Do you coach? Where's the background here?
I was 5 years old when I became a goalie in 1969. And I still play to this day. I play 3 times a week, a 10 goal. And I never went beyond. I never went to coaching. I always stayed between the pipes.
Now, what kind of league do you play on now?
Right now, I'm playing with a pickup group. A great bunch of guys. We play 3 times a week. And it's pretty organized. And occasionally, I'll jump into a league game. Or someone will need a goalie, you know, for pickup. Or a stick practice, and I'll go down there and I'll kick out some pucks for them. I'll try to kick out some pucks. So 3 times is the least I'll play. 4 is the most.
That sounds like a lot.
Yeah, I enjoy it. I love it.
So you're from Saugus too. That's a big hockey town, I feel like.
It is very big.
It literally has a hockey town.
Yes. And Kasabuski's right around the corner.
Yeah.
Another hockey rink. So.
Yeah. So I guess the question then is, at what point, like, how did you decide, you know, this is going to be the subject of a comic strip?
Well, it actually started back in the 90s. I always knew he was there. but I'd never really developed it. And I was trying to become syndicated, and I came up with a comic strip called Sports Kids. The only problem was the only sport I know is hockey. So I'd write about football or baseball, but I really don't have much concept. I mean, I've seen it on TV, but I just don't know the rules or the, you know, so I would try to write the jokes, but they weren't very good. But whenever I drew him, there was a spark there. So I figured I'm going to develop him, and I loved it, and I never looked back.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So. No, I mean, I what I like about it, we talked a little bit about this before we started recording. Like, it helps if you have a hockey background, I think, mm-hmm. but I don't really, but I still find it very funny. I think anybody who is obsessed with anything will appreciate, you know, how this kid feels about hockey, and especially youth sports. Like, my son is baseball.
Mm-hmm.
So we are a baseball family. You know, it's the baseball season, you know, it's 24/7.
Oh, nice.
So it's, you know, very easy to sort of make that leap from hockey to baseball in terms of, you know, why the humor resonates so much. Mm-hmm. But I think you could even, like, we had a woman on who did a strip about knitting. I don't know anything about knitting, but I could relate to being obsessed with a hobby, you know, or something you enjoy. Oh, yeah. And that's sort of how I feel about
this. And it's certain, I'm guessing it helps to have a niche.
It's Nietzsche, I think.
Nietzsche, a Nietzsche is who you're strip. Referring to. You know, because you have a built-in audience.
Yes.
Right. Because now, where does it appear? It is in a bunch of hockey-specific magazines, right?
I'm very happy to say it's 1 year now. It's been in USA Hockey Magazine, and it's the biggest hockey magazine in the United States, and it has, I think, almost. 500,000 subscribers.
Wow.
So they get to read it.
These days, for a print publication, that is saying something. That is.
Yeah. Anyone that loves hockey, you know, like you said with the baseball, they're hockey families.
Mm-hmm.
And I got friends that subscribe to the magazine. Oh, Jay, I saw your latest cartoon as they'll skate by me. Hey, Jay, saw the cartoon. Thanks. he's in Florida Hockey Life, and my local town, Saugus, the Advocate, also carries them weekly for about a year now as well. And a lot of websites, hockey-themed websites, will pick them up. Like Inside Hockey carries them. And it's just a lot of fans.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nice.
And what type of feedback do you hear from you know, people who play and who just love the sport?
They just get a kick out of them. They laugh or they'll, you know, they say, oh, that's my son. That's exactly what my son or my daughter does. And I say, oh, that's, you know.
I love how he's obsessed with his equipment.
Yes. Yeah.
That must be a real hockey thing.
Yes. Well, I'll tell you, I wear a pair of, and anyone that plays hockey will appreciate this. The pair of pads I'm wearing now are from 1970. They're the brown leather old pads.
Wow.
But what I did was I got the modern pads, split them open, took out all the padding, retro cut and fit them, and inserted them in the old pads. So now I'm wearing old looking pads, but with the modern protection underneath it.
Oh, that's good. Because I was going to say, there's a reason they changed those.
And there's a reason they changed those. And it took me the whole summer to build those pads. So I translated my obsession for equipment. It drifts right into the comic strip.
Yeah. Oh, I think that's so key to be writing about something that, you know, you like you said, you can't just pick a subject because you think it's going to be popular and then force it.
Yeah.
You know, it has to be something, you know, you really enjoy.
From the art perspective, tell us a little bit about your process, your penciling to inking to distributing it.
Very old school. I draw it on 17-inch wide paper, and I pencil it in. And then I ink over the pencil, erase, and I erase all the mistakes. And then I usually find out I could have worded it better, so I have a lot of white out. And I'll white it out, wait for the dry, ink over that. But then once it's all set and I like it, I bring it to the copy machine place and have them reduce down size and make 5 or 6 copies. And then I'll color one in. And if I don't like the way it's colored in, then I'll just get another one. And then scan it. And then I touch it up in the computer, like this marks or something. I'll give it a little tweaking. And then I'll put the lettering in with the computer, the overhead, you know, like by James. But the actual lettering in the cartoon is all hand lettered. And I was using for a while, the dip pens, the ones like Charles Schulz used to use in his comic strip. But I found it was a little tedious to go dip, draw up, and then if I press too hard, it. So I found these, anime pens, on Route 1. Fantastic. I don't know if I can say the name of the store.
Sure.
Artists and Craftsmen. Mm-hmm. On Route 1, they have everything. So I grabbed some pens from them, and they work fantastic.
What
so
pens are they?
They're anime pens. Underneath it says fine point. And everything else is. So I'll ink it in like that. And that's it.
And then to distribute it, are you emailing it out, or what's your process?
Both. Mostly email and even on Facebook. I was over posting on Facebook, so they kind of froze me. So they froze me out. So
you do have to be careful about that.
Yeah. So I ended up saying, I call it an e newsine. So every week I send the cartoon out in the email, to all the subscribers. And then I also send them out to the magazines. And if they say, oh, I like that particular cartoon, and like for USA Hockey, I'll reformat the cartoon. I'll put them in their jersey with their logo on it.
Oh, okay.
Just to give it more of a personal feel.
Right, because how often does the cartoon run in the magazine?
Well, they come out with 12 issues a year, I believe. Mm. He appears been about maybe 10 of them, because occasionally each contributor has to – they have like maybe a special event coming up. When the lady's here, she had a book coming out. So they put the space for her, Christy Burns,
mm-hmm.
who's also she's a newscaster for Channel 9 News.
Oh, okay.
And so I've got to be friends with her, and she wrote a hockey book. So say or something special like that, some features will take a seat for that month and not – and then the next month, we're right back in.
So you're sort of picking like the best of the best to go through there of the ones that you're doing
every
week.
Yes, I show them all, and they say, you know what, I like that one. Okay, mm-hmm. Let's do it.
So, that's cool. That's cool. And how did you get started sort of cartooning? Is this just something you've always enjoyed from when you were a kid?
I went to Bucket Hill, and I got my associates in graphics. But my drawing teacher, who was a cartoonist, pulled me aside, and he says, you have what very few other artists have. You can write, draw. He goes, I'm a pro cartoonist, and I see potential with you. And I said, I love doing it. All my life I read Charlie Brown and Family Circus all them. And I loved it, so I just jumped right into it.
That's cool. And did you see, what kind of topics did you deal with right away? Like, did you right away start doing sports related, or just sort of anything that came into your head?
It was Sports Kids that I started.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first one. And it showed some interest with some syndicates, but the material just wasn't strong enough. And I had to admit, I said, you know, the drawing was okay at the time. I still wasn't drawing. I feel as though I do a little better now. I look back at some of them, they're just kind of okay. But the material was a little weak. So
I mean, it takes a long time, I feel like, as the writing half of this duo to get used to the space. Like, how do you get across the setup, the punchline, make it resonate and, not crowd out the art. By putting too many words. Dave doesn't like that.
No, the more art, the better. No, actually, I'm a big fan of the writing. I think the writing makes the strip. The art. You
know, yes.
It's secondary.
Yes.
So you also have books.
Yes.
How many books now?
I have 7 total, and I'm working on my 8th, and I'm working on my first novel as well. I like to write.
Oh, really? Great.
So I'm going to give it a shot, and it's about goaltending. So
surprise, hey, it's working. Surprise. It's working. Stick with it.
Now, if people wanted to get your books, where would they go?
They can go to my website at smallsaves.com, and it's published through the indie create space they have on Amazon.
Yep.
So that's where I've been putting the books through. And also, I do a line of hockey t-shirts too, which Amazon has merch by Amazon, and they I applied to them, and about 2 months later after they checked me out and my website and everything, they gave me a slot for some t-shirts, and I started to design, because I'm in the silkscreen field for the day job, and so I like to design shirts and everything. So I did a bunch of hockey themed shirts that are also on with the books.
Now, I just have to point out, one of the books we're looking at, it's called When the Game Calls. You've got a hockey player here, and I just happen to notice, I don't know if this is a Tetra or not, but you got the old Hartford Whaler colors on this guy. Was that intentional?
Yes. I missed them.
I was a big Whaler fan, so I picked that up right away.
Yeah, I miss Hartford.
Are you from Connecticut originally, or how did you become a Whaler fan?
I'm Watertown, Massachusetts was my hometown. Just loving hockey and then growing up watching them when they were with WHA before they jumped over to the NHL. And I was very sad to see them go. It's just now they're the Hurricanes.
Carolina Hurricanes.
Yeah. And, I mean, it's nice. I mean, I like all the teams, but they're the Hartford Whalers.
I was devastated when they moved.
Yeah, so. I like the Bruins very much. You know, Chicago was my all-time team. The Blackhawks was, because Tony Esposito, he was the reason I became a goaltender.
Uh-huh.
I saw him play when I was five, and I was inspired. So they always were my favorite.
Great logo for Chicago, too.
One of the best, yeah.
Yeah, what's your prognosis for the Bruins this year?
I always say, even like the most struggling NHL player is like beyond phenomenal. They are just incredibly talented. So I feel on any night, any NHL team can step up and just clean house. I think they'll be okay. They'll tweak it a little bit.
they'll get their sea legs.
Yeah, they'll be all right.
So any other future projects you want to talk about?
Yes. I'm working on I love small saves, and he's my passion. Hockey is a market. It's a focused market, but there's so much more in life. And I'm developing a comic strip based on all his little friends. He's in it, too. But it doesn't focus on him. He may have a spot here and there, like Linus may pop into a Charlie Brown cartoon or Snoopy one day. But the new comic strip, the first title I had for it was called Community Kids, because I used to work at a community center. But it didn't really sound too catchy. So the working title right now is called Maplewood Street, because that's the street I grew up on. Mm-hmm. And that's the street Small Saves is in the cartoon. But it covers children from all nationalities, diversities. Some are handicapped, but they all share the childhood, the fun of being a child. And the topics range from everything. So if I am drawing a sports theme, like baseball, it's pretty general so that people will understand it. But it's anything to do with movies, music, school, and that's pretty relatable.
Yeah, it sounds very Peanuts inspired.
A lot of people have said that, and I've got a little cat, so he's in the comic. He's in Small Saves comic strip, but he's sort of like the Snoopy, but he's a cat. But he doesn't talk. He doesn't say anything.
You could do a lot worse than to have Peanuts as an influence.
Oh, yeah, they're one of the best.
We did. Dave and I when we started this went through our Desert Island comics. The ones that, which are just essential. And I think Peanuts was probably at the top of both of our lists. It was near the top anyway.
Everybody's list, I think.
What are the other ones you've liked in terms of comics? You mentioned that.
I like Calvin and Hobbes.
Yeah.
And of course, Pet Peeves.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for the plug.
I'm still laughing over
He had to say that to get on the show.
I'm still laughing over the gag, the show Tunes in the Basement. I was just busting up. When I read it, I was like, "Ah!" I was just like laughing. Oh my god, that's so funny! So that was great.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I see some of the cartoons that are in the papers, and some are okay. They're all right, and then some are standouts that are really good.
So yeah, yeah.
There's a lot there.
It's I feel like the heyday of comic strips has sort of passed us by a little bit. Like, you know, we were always saying, when we were growing up in the 70s and 80s, it was just such a huge part of the culture, and just there's so many great ones out there. And I think part of it is just the way things have developed with the internet and everything else. Every sort of type of entertainment is so fractured, and there's just so much out there. It's almost hard to, you know, for the cream to rise to the top. But on the other hand, you have so many opportunities to discover new stuff, you know, like your strip and so much out there. So it's an interesting time to be, you know, a consumer and a creator of that type of thing.
My goal is one day to become syndicated, to be signed with a syndicate. And I had shown small saves to all the syndicates, and they all, you know, passed on them. But I was lucky to get like a personal letter from one editor just to say, I really love the drawing style here. We really wish we could do something with this, but the focus is too much on hockey.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I said, well, I have plan B.
Right. Right. And no reason that you can't do both.
Yeah,
you
know? Exactly. Yeah. Like BC, Johnny Hart did Wizard of Id and the BC at the same time.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of opportunity out there. And because you could distribute yourself, to a certain extent, you know, there's no reason why you couldn't do something that's very niche and very, you know, focused, and something that's much more general.
What I'm working on now with Small Saves is I'm having help too from a fellow who is a sports, he does marketing and media. Mm-hmm. He's very busy, but he's sort of like coaching me, like, he'll send me feedback and send me in the right direction. And he says, customize small saves for all the teams out there. So send them a letter, show them what you have, show them how they could, you know, how fans would enjoy reading him. And like USA Hockey, like say if I write to the Bruins and have him in a Bruins uniform and say, you know, maybe you'd like him on your website, and do the same with all the other NHL teams and AHL teams and East Coast League, and then there's the Canadian League, and so I'm sending out to all the media markets out there. It's a lot of work, and I can only do so much at a time. And I'm contacting them all with a basic form letter, but it shows small saves and all the different colored jerseys and how we could help generate fan interest in the team, and you know, maybe a special cartoon for an upcoming event. I could.
Yeah, that's very cool.
So that's what I'm working on now. So
yeah, I put them in a Whalers jersey for all the sad Whalers fans who still miss them.
Yeah, when are they wearing the jersey again for the game against the Bruins?
So the two games this year.
Two games.
So one down in Carolina, and then in February or March
up here,
they're going to wear the old Whaler uniforms.
Yeah, I can't wait.
I looked at the schedule. The game up here, it's on a Tuesday night. I'm tempted, but it's tough.
Oh, you got to go, Dave.
I know. I don't know if I can bring my kids on a Tuesday night at school night. That'd be tough. But school.
All right. Well, James, tell us one more time where people could find Small Saves and your other work.
Well, they want to come right to my website at smallsaves.com. And from there, it has links to everything from USA Hockey to the Facebook page. And then there's a banner if you want to join the newsletter. They can just send me an email and I'll send it out to them.
Perfect. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thanks for having me. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you.
Fantastic. We wish you the best of luck, especially with the marketing to the teams. I think that's great.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a journey.
That's for sure. It's about the journey,
yeah.
Not the destination.
If I can just throw real quick, I want to say a special thank you to my soulmate, Kristen, who is always by my side. She takes this roller coaster ride with me. She sees the good points, and she sees the frustration when something doesn't go right. So I just want to say thank you.
Excellent. And I bet she gives you some good feedback too.
Yeah. She reads every cartoon. And if she laughs, then I know it's good.
Yes,
if she looks at it and says, well, then I know. That
back to the drawing board.
Exactly. So thank you, Kristen.
All right. Well, thank you again. And everyone, thank you for tuning in. We'll be back in January with the next episode of Strip Search. I'm Pete Gianca with Dave London. And have a happy holiday season. Take care.